I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, August 30th. The State Health Department on Friday confirmed that West Nile virus has been detected in mosquitoes collected in Quincy. There have been 3 West Nile virus positive mosquito pools identified from samples collected between July 21st and August 17th. Quincy's risk level has been raised to moderate. To date this year, the state has reported 68 West Nile virus positive mosquito pools from 12 counties, but there have been no human cases reported. Officials continue to remind people to limit your time outdoors during dawn and dusk. Use mosquito repellent that's containing DEET. Fix any holes or screens and make sure they're attached to all your doors and windows, and remove any standing water from around your home. The American Red Cross will be holding a community blood drive in Quincy today. That drive is at the Sons of Italy Hall on Quarry Street from 1 to 7 p.m. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org to make an appointment. City of Quincy's 11th annual Candlelight Vigil to remember those who've died of overdoses or substance use disorder over the past year in Quincy will be held tomorrow. That vigil is scheduled for Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the Hancock Adams Common in Quincy Center. The names and photos of those who have died will be on display. A federal judge on Friday dismissed a lawsuit challenging a requirement that students at UMass in Boston and Lowell be fully vaccinated against the coronavirus in order to return to campus. Students at the schools sued in July, asking the judge to find the vaccination mandates to be unconstitutional. The UMass Boston student also alleged that she was improperly denied a religious exemption. U.S. District Judge Denise Casper said the schools have a strong interest in reducing the spread of disease, and she found that despite the student's assertion that the policy is arbitrary and not based in science, the schools based the decision upon both medical and scientific evidence and research and guidance, and thus is at least rationally related to those legitimate interests. The judge also noted that students who refuse to get vaccinated may still take online classes or defer their enrollment a semester. But even if the policy meant they would be deprived of a UMass education, their argument still fails, she said. UMass President Marty Meehan applauded the ruling for allowing the school to continue taking the steps necessary to protect the health and safety of students, staff, and faculty. Every Massachusetts county but one now has a high risk of COVID-19 transmission, according to the CDC. Yesterday, the CDC posted updated transmission data showing that Franklin County is the only one with substantial transmission. The other 13 counties have a high rate of transmission. It is not novel. Almost every bordering county in each neighboring state has high transmission. As of August 29th, Massachusetts had a high transmission rate overall with a 7-day percent positivity of 3 to 4.9%. and 146 cases per 100,000 in the past week. Right now, every single state is classified as having a high transmission rate. A team of about 80 highly trained professionals is traveling from Massachusetts to Louisiana to help with urban search and rescue efforts in the wake of Hurricane Ida. Members of Massachusetts Task Force 1 left their base in Beverly yesterday after having about 6 hours to prepare for the trip. Doctors, paramedics, and canines will be part of the task force squad, which will assist Louisiana first responders in some of the toughest rescue missions. Several members of Massachusetts Task Force 1 also responded to help Louisiana through Hurricane Katrina, which made landfall 16 years to the day that Hurricane Ida hit the Pelican State. Last year, members of Massachusetts Task Force 1 spent a week helping communities devastated by wildfires in the Pacific Northwest. The crew members, about 25 in total, did not directly fight the fires, but instead surveyed the damage in the area and got communities that were burned down back up and running. Friends and family will pay their final respects today to former Boston Bruins player Jimmy Hayes, who died suddenly last week at the age of 31. Hayes was found dead at his home in Milton on August 23rd. The cause of death is not yet known, but it reportedly is not considered suspicious. He leaves behind a wife and two sons, ages 2 years old and 3 months old. The funeral mass will be held at 10 o'clock this morning at St. Anne's Church in Neponset. The services will also be streamed online. Hayes grew up in Dorchester and played at the Noble and Greeno School in Dedham before a three-year career at Boston College. He won an NCAA championship with the Eagles as a sophomore in 2010. The winger was traded to his hometown Bruins in 2015 in exchange for Riley Smith, and signed a three-year extension a few days after he was acquired by Boston. A man has died after being shot Saturday night in Dorchester. Boston police were called to the area of Erie Street at about 6:30 after receiving word about someone being shot. After arriving, officers found a man in his 30s with gunshot wounds. He was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. His name has not been released. The shooting is still under investigation. Officials say no arrests have been made. The shooting is presumed to have taken place outside. MBTA launching a fare-free pilot program for its busiest bus route. Starting yesterday, Route 28 bus from Mattapan to Roxbury is free to riders. The Route 28 bus carries nearly 13,000 people each weekday, and the program will run for 3 months until November 29th. Transfers to and from other bus routes are not included in the fare-free program, but customers of the T's Ride paratransit service will be able to get free trips as long as they begin and end within 3/4 of a mile of the Route 28 bus. In addition, the T began a new updated service schedule yesterday. As the Transit Authority gears up for increased ridership this fall, the T has extended its popular FlexPass program for commuter rail riders into mid-March. Means people will be able to buy 5 one-day passes sold at a 10% discount through the M-Ticket app for use within a 30-day period. A veteran Massachusetts officer has been tapped as the new chief of the Maine Capitol Police. Matthew Clancy, who has been in law enforcement 35 years, will take the position as chief. Clancy is currently the interim chief of the Plimpton Police Department since August of 2019, a position he previously held from 2002 to 2010. He also served as the police chief in Duxbury. In addition, he serves as an adjunct professor at Bridgewater State University and served more than a decade on the board of directors of the Massachusetts Police Accreditation Commission. Clancy will replace Robert Elliott, who assumed control of the agency in January after Russell Govan was placed on leave. Govan retired amid an uproar over social media posts he made promoting falsehoods about masks and the 2020 presidential election. The Boston Athletic Association is apologizing for holding the Boston Marathon on Indigenous Peoples Day this year. The BAA said it did not intend to take away from celebrations for the Indigenous and Native American community when it rescheduled the race from its traditional April date to October 11th. The BAA said it will recognize Indigenous runners and will help fund the first ever Indigenous Peoples Day celebration in Newton. Boston Marathon will return to Patriots Day next year. A virtual race was held in 2020 due to COVID-19. Nearly 24 clean energy companies and researchers around Massachusetts are sharing more than $2.6 million in grants to support clean energy innovation and technology development. The funding, provided through the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center's Catalyst program, among the projects to benefit from the latest round of grants are a company developing an automated solar panel cleaning product that will increase the output of solar panels, a researcher developing an electric vehicle battery that offers a high energy density, fast charging rate, and long life cycle, and a scientist developing a wave energy stabilizer for floating offshore wind turbine substructures. Since launching in 2010, the Catalyst program has awarded $7.2 million to 138 new companies and research teams. Federal ocean managers are asking beachgoers in New England and elsewhere to keep an eye out for stranded turtles. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Greater Atlantic Regional Fisheries Office said several species of sea turtle will still be in the area for a few months. Healthy sea turtles normally should not be out of the water. The office asked anybody who sees a turtle on a beach to report it. Species that could be spotted include loggerhead, leatherback, green, and Kemp's Ridley sea turtles. The turtles that are sick are treated at the New England Aquarium's Animal Hospital at the Quincy Shipyard. Check of business news. Stocks are higher. The Dow is up 242. The NASDAQ rose 183, and the S&P added 39. Global stocks also higher. So was the dollar. The euro is down. Oil at $68 a barrel. In sports, Indians beat the Red Sox 7-5. Boston is in Tampa Bay tonight at 7:10. And the Patriots win their final preseason game in the Meadowlands, beating the Giants 22-20. The National Weather Service forecast. For today, hazy, warm, and humid with some thunderstorms around this evening. High today, 85. Could be some heavy downpours late tonight, low 65. Tomorrow, hazy, warm, and muggy with a high of 84. Scattered showers around Wednesday, the high of 76. And the rains from Ida could arrive here on Thursday. Highs Thursday around 70 degrees. But the boater waves about a foot. Southwesterly winds, 10 to 20 knots. The next high tide, not till 6 p.m. It'll be low at 11:42 a.m. Sun rose at 6:07, sets at 7:20. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, August 30th.